This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Welcome to the podcast. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, we're keeping it. I'm borrowing Serene's mic because I told the girls that I have a Trim Healthy Mama test.
Who are you, though? You got to say,
everybody knows who I am now. Leslie Pops Tassamos.
You know, we have new listeners every week, Leslie. In the room.
I'm co-producer Leslie. I have a very real job within the Trim Healthy Mama world, but somehow I got tagged along to this.
We don't allow a party to go on without her. We can't because she's our Mama Leslie.
Well, I'm just in the background cackling or belling them because they've got too far off topic. Anyway, it's very wintry in Tennessee. And my whole face and lips are just dry, cracked. And as much moisturizer as I put, I was out of my Bountiful Balm. So I restocked my Bountiful Balm yesterday. That's not my test. Because everyone...
Tell everybody how she puts the Bountiful Balm. You're not on the microphone, sir. Or how Leslie puts... You know what? I do not know what this test to me is going to be about.
No, you don't.
But, you know, we have this product called Bountiful Balm. And it's really good for chapped skin. It's really good for any
everything.
Cuts.
Salve.
Any burns, okay, salve. That.
That was.
But if you want to see Leslie put it on, she uses it as lip balm. Mm. You know how you would get a little bit and rub it on your finger and put it on your lips? Mm. She dives her lips into the balm tin.
I just take the lid off and I bring the tin to mouth and just around
my... Yeah, but it actually looks...
Like I just kiss it a little
thing.
Bit.
It's actually a very cute thing. We should do a video of it.
Okay.
Anyway, on with the testimony.
Anyway, so Bountiful Balm got restocked in my thing yesterday. And then I was using an exfoliator, not a Trim Healthy Mama product. I was using an exfoliator because I was like the dry skin. I was like, I need to get it off. Well, then last night I got in the shower and it was a nice hot shower and my Pure Cleansing Milk was there. And it just... was the most incredible relief for my dry skin because it's got this, it's not a dry, like it,
no,
when you take it off, it's
thing.
Not, you know, and my lips, just my lips, it's like I had the first relief and it lasted all night. And then of course, with my Bountiful Balm, then I'm now.
So now you're hydrated.
I feel so back to, like within one application, I used it again this morning just because I was feeling greedy.
You know what was funny? Because we had exec meeting this morning and I was looking at you and you didn't have hardly any makeup on, right?
No, I just had my eyebrows on.
Your hair was nice.
And I had my hair down.
Was today day one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it was day one.
Like literally.
But you didn't have as much makeup on as usual. Day one, you usually has like a little bit of rouge and lipstick. But I kept looking at you thinking, why does she look so good and yet she's got... Oh, hardly
hydrated.
Any makeup on.
I was moisture. I was just like, I just wanted the moisture.
Do you know what's funny? And I didn't know you were going to, I thought you were going to do a testimony about your blood sugar or something. But then you mentioned Pure Cleansing Milk. But that's quite good because that's our cleanser and hardly anyone knows about it. And now that we've got this all our makeup line, it's so important to cleanse your makeup off without toxins. Why put toxin-free makeup on and then go and put some toxic cleanser on, right? And it is so moisturizing.
I like that.
Serene, do you have a lovely...
Well, I have something in the pantry.
Okay.
You know, I oftentimes Pearl and I will get together and we'll be like, you know, what do you got and what do you got? And I've actually had this little packet of Bickies in the pantry for... Do you say pantry in America or you say the...
No, they say pantry.
Oh, pantry. Good. The UPS truck is coming to your house, Pearl. What goodies did you buy me?
Oh, will be all my latest supplements I'm trying. I can't stop with the addiction.
Okay, so and so I've had this in the pantry for a little bit, but we've had so many other things to feast on. Mm. So it's time to bring these Bickies out.
And it's going to be a surprise to me. Today's a box of surprises. No Danny, and then a surprise testimony
where
from Leslie, and I don't know what you're going to talk about.
Yeah, where is Dan Face anyway?
You know, Danny, he's a Hollywood man now. Yeah. If like, you know, people call him and they're big, like, hey, Kevin Costner says, hey, Dan, you'd be my side man in this movie, he goes.
Yeah.
Or if like Chipotle calls him and say, hey, we need you today.
Yeah, we need you to say the word cilantro.
He drops us like a hot cake and goes to the big money. But we love our Dan.
Yeah, we do. We love it. I'm not sure if this is going to be, if these Bickies, if the full flavor of them are going to be, you know, Americans say Bickies.
No, cookies. They say cookies.
Yeah. But in good old motherland, we say bickies, another kind that you dunk in the milk.
In the tea or the milk. You know, yeah, when we came here to America and we used to see chicken and biscuits and I was like, why do they have bickies with chicken? Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Chickies and bickies.
What is with it? The two don't match. And then I realized your biscuit is our scone, but that's a whole nother part.
Yeah. So anyway, this tin of biscuits is called, I don't know, we always come up with a better name after the fact.
Yeah, but call it something now and then I'll change it.
Happiness outside of yourself.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. And so we're going to talk today about finding deeper and truer happiness outside of our own regular happy box.
Now, can I ask a question before we go on? Because you always tie it to THM at the end. But we have a THM audience listening. Will it relate or is this just a Sermon on the Mount from Serene?
Did you forget
that we were trim, healthy?
No, I didn't forget because I tell you why. We are body, soul, mind and spirit.
Yep.
And sometimes a meal will be full course.
Okay.
There'll be something for the body, the mind, the soul and the spirit. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's a little snacky and a bicky.
Okay, so it's not a Sermon on the Mount from
Serene. It might be a Sermon on the Mount, but I believe that you, Pearl Priscilla.
Oh, I'll bring it
around. Pull it around.
You know I will.
I know I will, baby. But do you think, Pearl?
Yeah.
And Dan in spirit. Do you think?
Dan. Should we miss our Dan?
Do you think we as humans, for the most part, have created a box that fits happiness inside? And if life changes and doesn't fit inside it, then we definitely can't be happy. Like for the most part, most of us.
Set our life up to be happy. Through a certain
we create a certain box.
Yeah.
And happiness has to be the right fit for it. And if it doesn't fit inside, look, I'm so sorry.
Oh, yes.
And it can't be happy.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
I found that so true for myself. And I'm going to tell a little testimony and explain my, you know, my sorrowful, miserable flesh.
Yeah.
I found that happy for my, I found that inside of myself. And then I had to get creative with my happy crayon and learn to draw bigger circles outside of that tight little box. And those bigger circles started to include different perspective in it and it broadened happiness for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to vamp on a little Florida story. I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to be narcissist. I am not trying to bring up the same story over and over again. But, you know, I don't like fly to India every second week and go to Egypt. And, you know, I don't have extensive stories. I just have my little life. Okay. So you might hear the same story over and over again, but I've learned from that story, right? In different ways in my life. So I might be repeating it.
Yeah.
And this, like I said, was this particular tin of cookies has been in the pantry for a while. So I'm backtracking here with my story. But you all, if you're new peeps in the room, you haven't heard, but if you've been following the potty for a while, you've heard all of it, all the details, too much info about my miscarriages. After the third miscarriage in a row, well, leading up to the third, when I didn't know anything about the third miscarriage, when I was just carrying that beautiful baby inside, we planned a trip to Florida. And we were so excited, like, oh, and my daughter Chalice, she was pregnant at the same time.
Yeah.
And so leading up to that, I used to go to bed at night with this little happy place in my head where I would imagine my daughter and me just laying in the sun in Florida with our little baby bumps and just talking about the future. Yes. And it was just like this little fantasy I'd get in my head, but it was actually life for me too. It was actually truth. It was fact. And it was so exciting. Okay. And so, and I had this going on and on and on. So I'd really fed that excitement.
Fed the fantasy.
I fed it. And then came the miscarriage.
Right.
But Florida had to keep on going. Mm. And the children kept on saying, like, day of miscarriage, because they're young and they don't realize, you know, Mom, are you so excited for Florida?
Right.
And inside I'm screaming, I hate the idea.
Yeah.
Stupid Florida. I don't want to pack my bags. I don't want nothing to do with it.
And one thing, let me interject. In Serene's family, in my family too, but especially your family revs one another up with the same question over and over again. If you're going to go on a trip, you have to assess the excitement every day with every member of the family.
Yes.
How excited are you for Florida?
I'm so excited. Yes. And they were doing that. And I was bleeding. Oh, baby was still inside. It was just like, but past, you know, and I was like, past to glory. And I was like, oh, I don't even want to hear the name Florida ever again. But I realized, oh, I can't take away that happiness from my children just because I'm going through this right now. So I had to think, okay, I'm going to have to find a happiness a different way in Florida. It won't be the fantasy of laying on the beach with my baby bump next to my daughter and her baby bump. It's going to be different. Okay. So I put in my head, I'm going to imagine, because I love walking. Pro, you love walking too. And walking. There's nothing like walking in nature. And there's nothing like walking feet in the waves, wind in your face, towards the sunset. Nothing like it. So this is my new image as I'm packing and thinking, okay, I'm going to get my happiness back. I found another little safe box to stick it inside. I'm just going to, you know, and I'm going to talk with the Lord as I walk along the beach and you know, really discuss this miscarriage with him. You know, but this is going to be my happy place. I need Florida. I just started to put it as a need now.
Right.
I need Florida. But the miscarriage didn't go as neatly as I had desired. And I started kind of hemorrhaging. So on the way to Florida, I'm thinking, my husband started saying, you know, I just really want you to rest. No walking. You know, and he wasn't trying to say it in a mean way. He was just saying, like, we need to be able to get back to Nashville, get back to your OBGYN. You know, you don't need to be like having to rush to a hospital here where they don't know you or your story and we're not covered, whatever. So I'm like, oh, now that like happy box, I can't even stick my happiness. There's no place for my happiness now. So I will just be miserable here in Florida, I told myself. But I could see that this was such a big thing for my children. They had lived looking for this. And I thought, I can't take this happiness away from them by being unhappy myself. Because if there is some unhappy person in the room.
Oh, it's so hard to be happy.
It drains everybody's happiness. And even if I wasn't going around miserable, the vibe will leak out.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because they'll be like, Mom, are you so excited for Florida? And if I don't respond with that, they will feel, you know, oh, you know, she's so unhappy.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, I have to learn happiness another way, like outside of myself, outside what makes me happy. I love to walk. I can't walk. I really loved being pregnant. I'm not pregnant. I'm going to have to find it somewhere else. So I looked outside at some elderly people that were just sitting camped on the back deck. We were right on the water. So that I should have been happy just because. And they were just staring at the seagulls and staring at children play. And boy, they were happy. They had a little 32 ounce of whatever. You know,
probably good soda.
Probably good 7-Up or something.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, they were happy campers. Like they had looked forward to the Florida it was sticking their box.
And look.
I thought, I need to learn from them because I'm miserable and I'm sitting here and I've got my 12 ounce of like sparkling bai.
Yeah.
You know, and why can't I tick the box too? And I thought, I'm going to be them. I'm going to decide to learn happiness through their eyes. So I just started. Usually I'm such a person that likes to do.
Yeah.
I don't take time for seagulls.
You never sit down.
You know, so I thought I'm going to sit and stare at the seagulls. I found joy. It was like, oh, this is kind of fun. This is relaxing. And then, of course, they were sitting watching the children play on the beach. And I decided, well, I've got children and they're actually my own. I'll watch them sit on the. I mean, of course, I watch to make sure they're safe. But I decided to watch and see joy through their eyes. I found happiness. But I had to draw it outside of what I would normally call my happy box or my happy place. And it was really a place of learning for me that actually you can be happy in really unique places in your life. You can find joy even outside of your personality, like things that would literally be like, this is miserable. Like for me, misery right now would be playing a game of Monopoly with somebody. Like that would be
takes
misery.
So long,
it's
right?
So not my personality. It's anti getting things done, practical, whatever. And so, oh, Pearl, you know, some people love doing arts and crafts with their children and buying little cotton wool from craft stores and little wooden sticks and glue guns.
Popsicle sticks.
Oh, that would be absolutely send me cray cray. But it's joy to some people.
Yeah.
And I bet. If there was nothing else to do for the rest of my life but that, I really think now that I could find joy in it because I learned to actually get outside of what really makes me tick.
You thought I can only be happy with this. Yeah. Oh, I so need to hear
so
this.
So it's really interesting. And so I learned, I learned that true happiness, and this is where I'm going to go a little bit tally prompty, okay? So that was just off the top of my head. But I wrote down a little few thoughts when I came back from Florida.
Just go with it.
So I learned that true happiness is not all about ticking off all your wants and the things that make you tick. It is about a decision, a mental choice to view life through joy. This way, even brushing your teeth makes you happy. Mm-hmm. Folding laundry makes you happy. Watching children play for hours on end makes you happy. Staring at trees makes you happy. Sometimes a disappointment in life leads to a deeper journey into happiness, if you let it, of course. When you give up your road to happiness, you often find a road that leads you there with a greater scope of life.
I love that.
And a depth of character and of wisdom that you didn't have before. And often, this road leads you to a beautiful, contented place that finds happiness in someone else's happiness. And wow, that is the real happiness, because that is happiness at its quintessential form. That is like the essence of happiness. Embracing happiness because you are creating happiness for those around you, or imbibing life from the rays of somebody else's smile, or being nourished by the soul food of another's laughter. Happiness, as the world at large knows it, is a beautiful but delicate deck of cards castle, just waiting to collapse at the pressure change of just one tiny card being removed. This fragility, it's not real happiness. It's a flighty facade. It's definitely not joy, because joy puts down roots. And I'm going to let you vamp here in a second. I'm just finishing up my little thing. Joy can even be watered by tears. Joy can be found in very unlikely places. Joy can be a hiding place when all around you is bleak. The lights don't go out on joy, even when surrounded by darkness. It is an all season, all weather, all circumstance anchor to our often wind-tossed and wave-splashed selves. Joy, the essence of true happiness, knows no bounds. It's larger than our tight, seamed-up so-called happy boxes, or more well-known as happy places. It has wings to fly above adversity, to get the view, the beautiful scope from heaven's heights. It knows how to burrow into the depths, into the marrow of the bones of joy, the very matrix that makes joy stand tall and gives it its form and its existence. It knows at its very core, if it's true joy, it'll find God there. It will find a loving Savior. And I love that verse in Nehemiah 8:10, Pearl. I love it. It's one of our favorites. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And why would we need this kind of joy birth strength if life was meant to be easy as dandelion puffs and marshmallows? Joy is made for times that need strength. Joy is made for the tough seasons. Joy is made when a heavy burden needs lifting off. And I also love, weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning, which is Psalm 30, verse 5. Joy can be weeping's baby.
Oh, I love that.
It doesn't have to bear bitterness.
Yeah.
We can choose to be the house of joy, the place that lets joy breed and multiply and take over, take charge. And what a happy existence to let joy be the boss. Anyway, so that was my thoughts after being an absolute moron in Florida, you know.
Yeah, but letting, you didn't end up a moron.
No, but that's what came out.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's okay.
Joy was your mourning. Joy was the baby of
that
your
was,
weeping.
But it was okay that, so it's okay if we have to battle in our minds for a better perspective, because if we look for that better perspective and draw outside, we will find a deeper and more wise perspective. So it's, you know, I it's not like I'm at all okay or glad that I had a miscarriage, but I know that wisdom has come out of it, and I know that a depth has come out of it. And boy, I had a great time in Florida. I actually look back and think that was one of my happiest Florida trips, and we go every year.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, nothing can really steal joy.
That's amazing. So that's because joy can't be stolen. I think our little bursts of what society thinks of happiness definitely can. And like you said, it's a precarious little card formation. Yeah. One card goes and it's all gone.
Yeah.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
you know, yes, Leslie Pops. Leslie Pops has another testimony.
Go, Leslie.
And then I've got Trim Healthy Mama Perspectives. Go, Les.
Well,
I'm
just going to go. You can edit me out. So you girls have been on, I know this is where you're going to go, but I'm going to go a slightly different way. But I think your happy box, when I heard you saying happy box, to me, yeah, I know what my happy boxes are. And some of them are food and coffee and an occasional beer, you know, like that's, but it's not even my happy box. It's actually my routine.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people confuse their routine and comfort with happy. So I thought you were going to go there, like chocolate cake versus not, you know.
Yeah.
And I know you're going there in
I'm
a minute.
I'm going somewhere there. But I want to hear what you want to say about that first.
No, I just, I think so many of us, like me, not you guys, so it's my show now, are, you know, sort of associate happy with consuming of something. Even like, you know, someone that might be struggling with an addiction or, you know, smoking cigarettes. Like it's habitual. It's this routine that you've created. It like, you know, at 6 o'clock, I'm going to have a glass of wine.
Right.
Then that's the rest of the, you know, like you're starting the unravel because you've had this routine. And I think so many, you know, like there was a while there where on the commute, on like my first year of Trim Healthy Mama, like on my commute on my way to Nashville, like I had like every morning, like a little like sausage biscuit thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was like, I couldn't even fathom not having.
It was your happy place routine.
But
yeah.
I was confusing happiness with the routine that I'd chosen.
I so see where you're going. I so get that.
But you girls have had a healthy, you've had healthy eating habits for so long now that a little disconnected from like, you know, the rookie realness where we still genuinely have happiness confused
with
routine.
I was sort of going to go there, Leslie, but you put it in a more real world aspect, I think, especially for some people that are still dealing with that. And so, yeah, let's bring it around to Trim Healthy Mama. But first I want to say, Serene, yeah, that was... I needed to hear all that good stuff about.
But I love what Leslie said, though, and you want you to vamp on it. But I love what she said. Happiness, we confuse it sometimes with just what we know, routine. Because you know what? All I knew was what I do in Florida is I walk, and I walk for hours, and I'll walk until I can't walk anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and I was excited about the baby thing too. But
well, that's what you do too, Serene.
That's what I do,
you
and that's
get
what
pregnant
I've done for
and you
years,
have babies,
right?
And that's what you've done, and that's what you
and
do, and you do
sudden,
it well.
All of a sudden, it has been a little bit of a blip and a blip and a blip. Not the babies aren't, like they're eternal souls, but there's just been this, okay, what I normally
it's pulled
do
away from
is,
you.
Is
yeah.
it's out of sync right now. And but I think that it's so awesome to realize, hey, maybe there is another. Let's draw the wider circle.
I know.
And just because that's what I always do, maybe why can't I be happy like the little elderly couple sitting on their deck chairs staring at the seagulls?
I know. It's a a different happiness. Well, and Leslie, you were saying even in your first year of Trim Healthy Mama, you know, and you were learning about all this and yet you still had your biscuit on the way to work, right? Now you're sitting across the room, you're not at the mic, but are you still having that biscuit? No, but are you just as happy? Yes. Happier. But you didn't know you could feel that because that's what you knew. It was your happy tick box, right?
Yeah.
And so isn't that amazing? We think the way to get to our happiness is a certain way. I think that's what happened to me in a different way. Of course, it's not like, okay, the sugar and the biscuit made me happy, but even certain Trim Healthy Mama things, I was eating my S breakfast every single morning with my cream in my coffee. That's what made me happy. I had to have my two fried eggs with butter. That's what made me happy. Don't take away my butter. Don't take away my cream and my coffee. They're my tick happy box. How can I be happy without that? Mm-hmm. And now I look at myself now.
And you're not saying that that's unhealthy, especially if it's grass-fed butter.
No.
But for your season, you were realizing your body wanted to burn a different kind of fuel in the morning.
In the morning for my postmenopausal season, I need to get my thyroid ramp, right? Mm-hmm. So Now I look at myself now with many more e-breakfasts, and I generally don't put cream in my coffee anymore. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just not for my season. Yeah. I do it occasionally. And I look at myself and I think, am I just as happy? What the heck? I'm happier.
Yes. I mean, what? Yes. What? And boy, do you dream about your breakfast? Because I know you do. You talk to me about your flipping oatmeal all the time.
Oh my goodness. If I just like, if I now that I dream about a nurturing breakfast, it's like my sweatpants oatmeal or PPP or something. And I could never have imagined doing that a few years ago. So I think it is drawing wider circles and actually living outside of them. I also think, you know, for some of us, happiness is not cooking. Well, I don't like to cook. Well, hold on. I love going out to a restaurant, or I like having it made for me, or I'm just not that. That's not my happiness.
Right.
You know, being in the kitchen is not my happiness.
Right.
But then what if it is? Right. What if it's like Serene staring at that couple who were just mesmerized looking at the seagulls, and you think, I could never be happy doing that.
Yeah.
And then you said, but I'm going to be happy doing that.
Yes.
And you found it, right?
I did.
You found it.
It was awesome.
So what if you're just listening now and you're not even at that stage
yet? I thought I might start being a painter and paint seagulls.
Yeah, right? It could go that far. I mean, we are made for joy. So when we embrace it, we can find it, right?
Yeah.
It's like, God, seek me and you will find me. Yeah. We are made for joy. He's our designer. Yeah. He made us. So what if you are that person, and we've been saying this in recent months, what if you are that person that says to yourself, I will find joy in the kitchen, and then you just start puttering around and you say, man, I love puttering around in the kitchen.
Yes.
Man, I love it. Serena, I've got to tell you something.
What, Pearl?
I am telling you this, and I haven't said it to you
yet,
because whenever we get together, we have to discuss real important Trim Healthy Mama big decisions, right? And or else we just discuss what we ate.
Or then, you're shoving a cookie in my mouth because you're like, you have to taste it too. I know you hate sweetened cookies, but we have to get these cookies signed off. And it's like the 200th cookie I've ever put in my mouth.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, we did that, and I don't know when this is going to drop, but I'm just telling you, while I'm telling everybody else, this is a conversation we haven't had.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to have it with all our hundreds of thousands.
Ring, hello.
Trim Healthy Mama. Serene.
Okay,
Serene. Okay, you know how we did that potty on I Have a Kitchen?
Yes.
Well, something happened with that.
What happened?
It like went psycho viral.
Yay.
It's so beautiful. I've sat there and cried, and I haven't had a chance to tell you.
Yeah.
But everybody just started. It's like the essence of all our Trim Healthy Mamas. Their hearts just started overflowing. We got to see who they are, and they started posting pictures of their real life kitchens.
Oh, I love it.
Their humble kitchens.
Oh, I love it. Their brand new kitchens.
Their half finished kitchens. Their divey kitchens.
Wow.
Their RV kitchens.
Yes.
They're ones that they live in their grandmother's house. It's 100 years old, and their kitchen's sort of falling down.
Wow.
Well, there are kitchens where they're lonely.
Yeah.
Well, there are kitchens where they're full.
Wow.
All their kitchens. And it has been the most humbling thing to see these hearts shine forth, to see the needs, to see the blessings.
Yeah.
But just to see where women are realizing, I have a kitchen. And Serene, it made me feel amazed at what I have, because so many of our women, we've been there. I wanted to post a picture of your kitchen. I actually wanted to post a picture of all your kitchens, because you've lived in a tiny 200-foot trailer and you didn't have a running toilet. And I know that you're there in the kitchen in one of the pictures. I wanted to post like all your pictures, but I haven't even gotten to your house yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just made me think, no matter what our kitchen is like, because these women are creating these heart meals of love, and they have these most humble kitchens.
Yeah.
Some of them don't even have running water.
Yeah.
And yet these meals are just, and they're doing their best. And I just thought we can find the joy no matter what our kitchen looks like. And so many women saying, well, I couldn't be happy until I got the kitchen that I wanted. And now I look around and I see you guys living with joy in your own kitchen, and you bet I'm going to find happiness in my kitchen.
That's so great.
It sort of relates to this, because it's now a decision to be happy.
Basically, let's broaden it. Okay, we did that potty. I have a kitchen. Okay, now I have a life.
Yeah.
So there's a choice.
Yeah.
Am I going to cook up bitterness, disappointment, anger, you know, a whole bunch of ed-upness, like just, you know how you look around and you like, oh, those people are ed-up with life. It's so sad. Or I have a life. I can choose to bring joy out of this, to whip up joy. Because, you know, it's okay to whip it up.
Yeah.
To make it good, fluffy and high.
Oh, Serene, we whip up business.
Oh, I know.
We like, we whisk it.
Yes.
Whatever we're making. I love this analogy.
Hey, our whole life is a kitchen.
Is a kitchen. We are creating.
Yes.
We are putting things, a little sprinkle of this, a little sprinkle of that. Now fold in this, now fold in that. And then our life becomes these creations.
And we pour out these gifts, these creations to those around us. Okay, so we might make a beautiful, healthy macaroni and cheese or something. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm just saying, I don't know why I chose that, but it could be anything. But we could whip up a little joy for our family too, you know, a little soul food.
Yeah.
And it all comes from the kitchen of our life.
Yeah, it really does.
This is good. I knew you could bring it round. You did good.
Well, I just think, you know, and I've been many days of, I remember when I lived in my, you know, that trailer home where you always talk about the cockroaches that were there.
You didn't even want to leave it, Pearl.
In the end, I didn't.
No, it had to be burnt down for you to leave. She lives in this beautiful rock covered mansion. Like, it's so nice.
It's not a mansion, Serene.
It is to me because I don't have pants on my house yet, okay?
Oh, so
my house is still
my
like.
My house is like not gigantic. It's like it's more of a manor than a mansion.
Well, to me, it's a mansion.
Yeah, to me.
Okay. So they had it built and it took a while, you know, because they just built it slowly. All the while,
it's a farmhouse, people, but it's better than a trailer home.
All the while, she was living in this cockroach infested trailer. She wasn't a dirty person; she was a clean person,
sort of.
But guess what? We lived out in the country, and vermin and everything. It just finds you. You can be Martha Stewart, and it will find you, right? And we wrote the book "Trim Healthy Mama" in that beautiful little trailer. It had great memories, but guess what? The computer we wrote it on. I think they began in that computer.
Yeah,
they liked
did.
The hot little.
That computer had cockroaches birth in it.
Yeah,
where we wrote
and
that
then
book
your dishwasher.
Yeah,
it gave birth.
They
to
love
more
electrical
and more and more.
Places.
Yeah, and I remember them scurrying out of your computer while we were writing and scurrying
it
out of you.
We didn't have the money to get the exterminator. I tried
well, you
many
did.
Things.
Mom and Dad paid for the exterminations.
Yeah, I know.
But they paid for the wrong kind of exterminations or something.
The
but anyway,
natural stuff didn't work.
But anyway, it was. It was a big deal, and it was like a load of cockroaches. But you loved that, and you had a kitchen, and all the recipes from those first books came out of that kitchen. Now Pearl's house, this manor here, Rock Manor, was finished and completed, but she still wasn't moving over. She was still living in the trailer because it was comfy for her.
Yeah, but there were times when I was. There were times when I would. There were days when I wouldn't be happy with my trailer home, Serene, and I had to wrestle with
it.
Yeah,
but
and
when
then,
you had the manor, you became happy with that trailer home. You just comfy. You were like, why do I need to put the new jeans on? I'm in my sweatpants.
No, but when sometimes you realize what you got, we've all been on a journey, right?
Yeah.
And then you start to realize, I just started to look at the years I'd had when I was about to leave.
Yeah.
It wasn't all like, I'm so upset about this home. I had many days of being grateful for it. But sometimes, you know, I didn't understand gratefulness.
Yeah.
And I woke up on the wrong side of the bed.
Yeah.
And then God blessed us and we were able to build, you know, my dream home. And then I just started looking back on my life here raising these children and my trailer home, you know?
Yeah.
And I just counted the blessing. I was just so overwhelmed at what we'd done. It was like, why should I move? Look at what we've done here. Look how beautiful.
And remember, Pearl.
This has been in this trailer home and I barely wanted to leave, Serene. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. Remember Pearl Autumn, your daughter, who, you know, her room was always, you know, had the teenage boys bustling through it and breaking all of her nice little ornaments and stuff because you had all your four teenage boys just.
I had my three boys, three, but plus so all
it
the
felt
cousins
like
who
four.
Lived. Well, these, the cousins
yeah,
were
the
there
cousins
staying
were
there
always
every night.
Staying there. And they'd even put fists through the wall with their wrestling, fun wrestling and stuff.
Yeah, they had.
But I remember Autumn, she finally got the room of her dreams.
Yeah.
And it was up and away from the boys and it was all special. And the house burnt down. That's why you ended up having to move your trailer home. And I just remember her pining for her little room back on the other side of the street where all the cousins were.
Yeah.
Where all the riffraff was and the cousins and the cockroaches, but that had such beautiful memories for her. It was almost like she was nostalgically homesick. She got the room of her dreams, but yeah. I remember her just longing to go back and live at the trailer.
I know. And I've been so inspired, I think, by seeing some of the pictures and hearing the stories. There is so much honor and love in so many of the stories where women say, you know, my husband built these cupboards for me, or these were built by my grandfather, and I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't see this right here. Look how out of fashion it is. Or, oh, look, it was in the 70s, but it holds too many memories. Yeah. I would never let this go.
That's so good.
And it's like honor to them, and it's like love to them.
Yes.
And see, these were my grandmother's right here, and we eat off them.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, there's nothing. There's nothing could replace this. And it's just like, you don't need to be fancy. You have the latest gadgets to have love or to create beauty in your home.
No.
You know, I've just been so inspired, Serena. I wish you had social media so you could look at them, but, you know, it'd take a lot of time.
I want to also shout out about our mum. Okay, so my parents, they live in a trailer home that my dad, he's the kind that says never say never.
Yeah.
Okay, and he was like, I want to stick a trailer home on top of a cinder block basement.
Yeah.
It's kind of not in the ground.
It's not really a basement.
It's like a first floor, really.
Yeah,
he calls it a basement, but it's really a first floor. And he'd asked all these companies, and they said, it's impossible. We won't cover it with insurance. Yeah. And we're not, none of our machines and what do you call those things that they, that
cranes?
Cranes. None of our cranes can do it. And it's too heavy and blah, blah, blah. Cause it was a double wide, big modular home, not really a single wide or anything. And he's like, well, it's going to happen. And I remember him changing ideas and working it out for a good year, but he would never give up on his idea. Well, he finally stuck it up there. I remember the day when the cranes were all out there and the house was like wavering in the air, and they laid it on top of these big steel beams. And anyway, so this trailer on top of a basement is the Hilltop Church.
Mm.
It is where, I mean, I've had a few babies in there.
Mm.
All your little children grew up there, Pearl.
Mm.
All of the Breezy's balls. It's an event we have every year here at the Hilltop where it's like everybody comes and we have a ball. I mean, our Thanksgivings, our Christmases, all the memories that we have. Everybody thinks of that place as a mansion, but do you know what? It's not. It is a trailer home. And if you look close, the little pieces of the siding that attach the little trailer walls together, they're half falling off everywhere.
Oh, the vinyl tiles are coming up. It's humble, but we don't realize how humble as we forget. And then people come to church. Remember all the coaches came?
Yes.
And to our church when there was a retreat, and they wanted to just come and see this Hilltop Church, you know? So they came and they were looking around, and then I suddenly saw it in their eyes.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no. And then remember Coach Canada. She was on our party. Oh, just such a wonderful woman. She was like, okay, you guys, I was worried about you guys, you know, all out here. I didn't know who you were, but she's like, you're the hood. I love you. You're the hood.
But listen, like, my mom, she has a kitchen.
Oh,
and she has not only fed her immediate family there, but she has housed celebration. We've had weddings.
Mm.
Every baby shower until your house came along, Pearl, was always there. The parties were always there, and it wasn't the nice house on the lot.
No.
It was probably the crummiest house on the lot.
It's crummy.
But the parties are had there, and all the fun and all the memories. And like you said, we couldn't see it until you look through somebody else's eyes coming in, because to us, it was golden and we wouldn't want to change it. What? Change those tiles coming up?
Yes.
No. That's our memories.
Yeah.
Our children learnt to walk on those things.
Yes.
Don't you put some fancy stuff down.
I know. So, you know, I think it's been a beautiful party. And just,
can I just say one more thing, though? Just bring it round, and it may be wrong because we've probably moved on from there. But some people think, oh, you know, my happy place, maybe it's just their routine is I can't watch a movie without a big 32 ounce of Coke.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or the Skittles.
Right.
You know, that's
what I do.
Cannot,
that's my tick box.
Yeah, that's the tick box. And the movie is only half ticked without the candy.
Yeah.
You know, and or it's like, I can't be happy sweating and waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning to do a little work-ins. Ouch. No. I like to come downstairs in my little fluffy
jammies and
little
and
jammies.
Don't say hello till I've had my first cup of coffee.
Yeah,
that's my tick box.
That's my tick box.
We've all been there.
But draw a wider circle. You never know what makes you happy. Because I used to be one of those people, I'd never think of doing exercise in the AM before,
yeah.
You know, in the too early. But, you know, I tried it. I don't do it now either because I'm in a different season and it's good back at 10:30. But there was a season where I had a lot going on and there was no way I could fit it in unless mm-hmm. I got up at 6. I tell you what, I was happy.
Yeah.
I tell you what, it was a fantastic time.
But you had
time.
To tell yourself to be
oh, happy. Yeah. I drew the happy crayon out a little bit wider. I tell you what. It was a great, oh man, I was about to tell everybody that's the best time to do it.
Yeah, so good, Serene. See you guys next week.
Yeah, we missed you, Dan. Jim Matthew.